Well, the year was 1982. I was a rising young student in Miss Connie Campbell's second grade class. It was a great year for me. And probably one of the greatest things that I remember was recess. I know that's hard for some of you to believe, but I loved recess. I mean, I'm sure I learned some academics along the way. I mean, I obviously had to have learned a little bit. May not show today, but obviously I learned a little bit along the way. But there was just something special, something magical happened every afternoon just after lunch. So we would rush to recess, and I can remember that we played this game called Red Rover. Now I want you to raise your hands if you know what the game Red Rover is. Okay, most everybody. I'm actually surprised, you know, what Red Rover is. Now, if you're here today and you have no clue what I'm talking about, what would happen is that they would play this game and they would say, Red Rover, Red Rover, send a particular student right over, like Kelly. Red Rover, Red Rover, send Kelly right on over. So what would happen is that you would go to PE or you'd go to recess and you would form two teams. The two opposing teams would stand facing each other about 30 feet apart or so, and one team would decide what other team of the other team, the opposing team, they would choose a particular name, and they would say that. They would say, Red Rover, send the student, fill in the blank, right on over. So if your name was called, then you would run and you would try to break through a linked hand of, a chain of hands that the opposing team are all joining hands, forming this continual link. And if the student ran through the arms and broke through the line, then that person could take one of the opposing team back to their team. So the object was to try to get as many people on your team to form the longest link while the other team's links gradually diminished. Now, if you didn't break through the link, then you had to join the other team. So I don't know that you hear of this game anymore because I think it's actually kind of dangerous. I think kids can actually get really, really hurt here. I think I remember that we had a student in our class that actually broke his arm doing this, okay? So I think they quit doing that right after second grade. But understand, that's why I'm so tough today, was because they allowed us to play games like this. But I can remember very specifically being that student in that line, just hoping and anticipating that they were going to call my name, that they were going to say, Red Rover, send Mark right on over. And I was going to go forth and I was going to win the day. I was going to break through. I was going to let all my fellow students know that they could count on me because I was going to win. I was going to win this game for them. Now, I think that if we were all honest today, we all like the idea of being chosen, don't we? We all like to have our name called. We all want to be the one. But the question that I have for you today is this. What do you do when you are chosen? How do we react? I mean, do we take it as a blessing? Do we give it everything that we've got? Do we believe that we're going to achieve positive results? Or do we take the chance for granted? Do we just kind of just halfway go through it? Do we really care what is taking place? Do we think that somehow that we've earned that right? That somehow that we are entitled to the chance? Well, this morning I want to share a message with you entitled, Be the One. And what I want to show you today is that God has chosen each and every one of us. That He has handpicked you. He has handpicked me. He has chosen us, even though while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now here in the story in Luke chapter 17, we have a story of 10 men who were sick. In fact, they had this disease called leprosy. Now, just in case you don't know anything about leprosy, especially back in Bible days, this was a really bad thing. First of all, it was a very contagious disease. Second of all, once you've contracted it, the life you once knew, it was all over. Understand, there was no cure for it. And what would happen with leprosy is that literally your extremities would rot away. One day you would have 10 fingers, next thing you'd only have 9 because one would fall off. Your nose, your ears, your toes, your outer extremities, they would decay and they would rot off until ultimately you would die. This disease would kill you. So it's important for us to realize that these guys in this story, they were living anything but the great life. I also want you to realize that these guys, they had to have had a normal life before this. I propose to you that they had families. They probably had children. They had probably had jobs. They probably had occupations. They had, you know, just a normal life that what you and I have, what we often take for granted, until one day they looked down into all their horror. They could tell something was wrong with their skin. There was something that was off, something that was gonna start decaying. So their worst fears had now became a reality. Now understand that these lepers, they would have been banned from society, from healthy society. They were blackballed, if you might want to call it, and they were ordered to be on the outskirts of the city. So understand, everything that they had from that point on was because they had to beg for it. They had to cry out at a distance for people to give them clothes, to bring them food. So it was a really horrible thing to be a part of this group. Now I want to turn this story and I want to turn this message inward for just a moment. Now I want to ask you this question. You don't have to answer this out loud. But what is it for you? What position are you in? Where within life are you at? Or are you living a life that is full of abundance that Jesus has promised us? What is it that is holding you back? What is preventing you from being all that you can be in God? What could that be? You see, it could be many, many things. For several, especially this time of year, it seems like that finances seem to kind of be at its worst going into the Thanksgiving and Christmas season. Oftentimes we find that the harder we work, the further in debt that we sometimes go, and there's not enough money to go around at the end of the month. Maybe it's your health. Maybe you're taking so many prescription drugs that if the ATF raided your house, they would accuse you of drug trafficking. We all know that it happens. Many have an ongoing addiction. Understand that there are things that we want to shake loose. There's things that we want to walk free of. But it seems like that the further that we try to press in, the more oppressed we become. And we fall into this life of addiction. Maybe your heart has been broken. Maybe someone close to you has let you down. Maybe crushed your heart. Maybe there's voices inside your head that is saying that you will never be chosen. You will never be picked. That you just can't seem to find the right one. Well, the good news is today is that I believe by the power of the Holy Spirit that our healing and our deliverance is in place. It is available for you and for me. Now, I want you to understand that normally speaking, that I would ask this question at the beginning of a sermon, but I want to ask you this morning, would you agree with me that regardless what you have brought in, regardless what you were struggling with, would you believe today that the same power and the same Holy Spirit that performed this miracle all the way back in Jesus' day when they healed these 10 lepers, will you believe me and anticipate in advance that God can do the same thing for you today? Because I believe that if we will believe it, if our faith is that strong, if we will understand that He is the same God yesterday, today, and forever, that He can do that for us even in this service today. Now, I believe that there are at least three lessons that we can learn from this particular story about the 10 lepers. And so I want to share you maybe my top three as I glean from this particular story. Now, if you're a note taker, I want to encourage you to write this down. I believe that what we need to learn to do as believers in Christ is that we need to learn to call upon God first. We need to call upon Him first. That, you know, when it seems like that we just keep facing one obstacle after another, one trip hazard after another, or when it seems like the pressures of life, when they just kind of keep pushing and holding us down, rather than God being our last resort, church, what we need to do is we need to put God first in everything that we do. Now, again, here in verses 12 and verse 13, it says that these 10 lepers, that they saw Jesus at a distance and they cried out to Him. Now, this is very important because understand, these guys, they obviously knew that they were in a bad spot. They were in a bad position. They knew that their future was very, very grim and very, very dim. And so they needed, more than anything else, they needed immediate supernatural intervention. They knew they needed a miracle right now. It couldn't wait. It had to happen then. So Scripture says that they recognized Jesus at a distance and they cried out to Him and they cried out to Him for mercy. Now, I believe one of the greatest problems that we have as Christians today is that we always choose to kind of seek God as our last resort. In other words, He is the last one that we contact. He's the last one. He's the last prayer that we make is for God's intervention and for God's help. Now, I want you to understand, you're looking at a man who has failed this lesson many, many times. I've got so many t-shirts in my closet because I am guilty of kind of calling upon God last. For example, A couple months ago, we had a tropical depression roll through our community off the remnants of a hurricane, and it was really bad. We actually got some really, really tough weather here. And as you most know, most of you know that the wind usually travels kind of from a west to east direction. With this tropical depression, it kind of came, and it was all over the place. It was going from east to west, south to north. I mean, it was just all over the place. Well, in our master bedroom, in Kelly's, in my bedroom, there is one window, and I don't understand what in the world the problem really is, but every time the wind blows the wrong direction or not normal direction, there's this loud creaking sound happening in one of the corners of our windows. Now, most of you, I've told this story, I'm a very light sleeper, so it don't take much to kind of knock me off of my sleep game. And I can remember the night of that tropical depression blowing through. Man, it got all over my nerves. To the point where I got up in the middle of the night and I got a cordless drill and a very long screw, and I screwed the very faceplate of the windowsill in my thought to tighten things up. Well, guess what? It worked. Or so I thought. I lay back down, went, you know, everything was great. So, you know, here a couple weeks kind of roll on. Well, a couple of Sundays ago, we'd had a great service that day. I can just remember that I had preached a very passionate message. And so, you know, from a physical standpoint, it kind of drained me. We hosted the Couples Connect group at our house. I led the devotion that night. And so by the time we kind of cleaned up, by the time we got kids in bed, I was exhausted. I knew what the week was coming up. We knew it was going to have a hard week, you know, facing us. So I needed a good night's sleep. It was imperative that I got a good night's sleep. Around 2 o'clock in the morning, creak, creak. You know how you lay there and you go, it's not going to do it again. It's just a short term. I'm just going to lay here. It's all going to quit. And then there's that pause. Everything is great. You start to drift off. Creak. To the point I'd had enough. I kicked the covers off. I went and got my cordless drill, got me some more screws, and I'm just, you know, I am screwing these screws into the side of this windowsill. Understand, if we ever sell our house, but somebody's going to say, what in the world crazy person did this work in this bedroom at 2:30 in the morning? So I think that I've got it. No more noise. Everything is good. I lay back down, and I'm thinking, okay, I've got to get some sleep. Not even 10 seconds later. Creak. Now, what made things worse is that Kelly starts giggling in the bed beside me. It was at that moment, and this is no joke, I prayed this prayer. I said, God, I am about to have a brain heart attack. I'm about to have an aneurysm. I am about to explode here, God. And God, I don't think this is your will. I don't think it's your plan for me to leave this world tonight. God, I'm asking you, could you please either stop the creak or give me the wisdom on how to make it stop? And it was like that. I knew exactly what I needed to do. So I went and I made the adjustments, and everything was great. I ended up getting a halfway decent night's sleep. Now I want to ask you, church, how much better of a man would I be from that situation if I had only called upon God's name first? You see, a lot of times you may think, well, those are small, trivial things. God doesn't care about those things. You know, God's got more important things to do. He's got this big thing taken care of. God's this and God's that. God don't have time to mess with those things. Listen, church, God cares about every single thing that is happening in your life. It doesn't matter what's going on. God cares about you. But not only would I be a better person, but think about how better physically would I be. If you guys ever want to know whether I am physically, that I'm just worked and I've overdone maybe the week, you can tell it when I preach. For those of you who were here last week, my voice was horrible. You can tell it. It's weak. It's just like you can tell when I'm physically, I'm not rested. But how much better physically would I be if I had called upon God's name first? What about spiritually speaking? Understand, you know, am I saying that I committed some kind of sin because I got angry and because how, you know, did I overreact? What did I say during those times? I don't remember saying anything wrong, but I can tell you that there was so much frustration and anger that was built up within inside of me. I'm going to tell you, I believe I crossed over to the place of sin. And I know you can look and you can kind of laugh at all of my dysfunctional life. But the point is, what would it have looked? How would it have looked different if I had called upon God's name first? I'm telling you, I would be a much better man. Psalms 55 and 22 says this, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you." Now, when we look at this word sustain, and you kind of break that down a little bit deeper from the Hebrews translation, you can find that it also means that he will give you the perfect measure of grace and the perfect measure of peace and strength. Now, think about that. Now, I've used this illustration before, but I want you to imagine or picture with me a set of old-fashioned scales. Y'all know what weight scales are? You know that they kind of balance each other out. You put more weight over here, and this side goes up, or put more over here, and it weights back down. Now, what this scripture, what this ministers to me, what this is saying to me, is that oftentimes as life goes forth and as worry and anxieties and all the things that we kind of struggle through within life, oftentimes they start to weigh us down, don't they? They start kind of having the best of us. And so the more that it is, the harder it is to overcome. But what would happen if we realize and take God for his word, take it for what it says, that he will sustain you, that he will give you the amount of measure of grace, strength, and peace that you need to balance the system? How much better would we be if we said, God, I need you. God, I'm seeking you with this. God, I'm worried about this. God, I've had this anxiety about this. You see, we've been at a very pivotal place as a ministry for quite some time. And I have struggled when it comes to sleep for about the last 2 months. I mean, it's been a struggle for me. And you say, oh, what's going on? What's upon your heart? Understand, in my mind, we're always having to think 3 and 4 steps ahead of what's God wanting us to do. What's the next step? What's the next ministry? What do we need to do here? And not to mention the building program. We've got this and we've got that. Oh, we don't want to make a bad decision here. We want to make all the right decisions over here so that it can be just right and perfect. So understand that within all this, I've been guilty of just allowing all that stuff to build up to where my scales have been way out of balance. And those who are closest to me, they can tell that. They can tell my actions. They can tell by my reactions. They can tell how I respond. But once we give this to the Lord, once we say, okay, God, I can't handle this anymore, it's like the Lord will go, okay, let me have this. And we're like, wow, that was easy. See, Jesus talks to us and he says that if we would come and we would give those burdens to him, he said, I'll take your heaviness, I'll take your worry, I'll take your anxiety, and I will trade you and I'll give you my mantle, I'll give you my covering because it's easy and it's light. So what happens is that it's the Lord that balances our life. So church, may we learn to call upon God first, not last. My second thought is this, is that we need to take a step of faith. We need to learn to take a step of faith. Now, here are these lepers. They're crying out for help. They're recognizing who Jesus is. You see, in my mind, they have already heard about Jesus. They've already heard about all the miracles. They've heard about all the great things that Jesus has done. So they're here. They're standing in need for a healing. But what is odd, if you're reading this story for the first time, what's odd is how Jesus responds to them. Notice here, Jesus says immediately, go and show yourselves before the priest. Now, I'm thinking, wait a minute. Now, there's a lot that's not said here. What did Jesus not say? Jesus didn't say anything about healing here, did he? He didn't say anything about answering the prayer that they kind of put forth. He didn't say, well, if you feel like it, then go. No, it's a voice of command. It's a voice of instruction. Go now and show yourselves to the priest. Now, here's the challenge for us. So many times when we go through battles, we face obstacles in our lives. Jesus is often saying the same thing to us. You see, church, healing was not a guarantee, but their obedience was demanded here. In other words, there's no promise of healing here, but their obedience was expected here. This is so hard for us as people to kind of understand that a lot of times Jesus, he is telling us, the Holy Spirit is telling us, do this or don't do that. But yet we get so bound up in who we are. We kind of put our heels on the ground and we say, Jesus, I will not be moved. Have you ever been in that situation? Oh, it's so hard. But oh, I've got to carry it. Oh, it's my cross to carry. Oh, woe is me. Pastor Stephen addressed this Wednesday night in a very beautiful and true way. Understand that there is purpose within the chains. There is purpose in the problems that we go through. But understand a lot of times the Lord will speak and he will be specific that you need to do this. But yet we resist him and we're like, oh, but God, you know, what about this? Listen, there is no other option. When Jesus speaks, he speaks. And we need to learn to obey. Now, I realize this season that we're going into is a very difficult season, especially if you've experienced any kind of loss, whether maybe it's through a divorce, maybe you're frustrated, you haven't found Mr. Right or Mrs. Right, and so you're sitting back and you're like, you know, I don't know what to do with this. I don't know how to handle this. Maybe the Lord is speaking to you. Maybe he's saying what you need to do is you need to get involved. In other words, you need to maybe get involved in a church. You need to get involved in a Christian community. You need to be a part of a church like the Cleveland Worship Center where we are offering not just, understand church, it's not just enough for us to come in here on 1.5 hours every Sunday and somehow think that it is enough to carry us through the week. Understand, we need some real ministry. We need some real ministry where we open up our hearts and we trust one another. So that's why it's so important that if you are struggling with a grief or a loss, man, today at 3 p.m. is going to be a great time for you to come and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you in a special way. Every Tuesday morning, our ladies meet. They have a time of prayer. They have a prayer time of devotion and study. And they dig in deep. They have formed an amazing, beautiful community that they lean upon each other. Men, listen. It's as simple as going to have lunch at Wendell's at 11:30 on Thursday. It's as simple as coming to a Saturday morning breakfast or a Bible study. Understand, as we lean upon each other, as we take this step of faith, as we go forth and we say, God, I can't do this on my own. Understand, that's when the Lord changes things. Amen. But we have to be obedient. For some of you, it could be that it is finances or a sore subject in your house. Understand, statistics show that there are more divorces caused because of finances more than anything else. So it's a real problem. But it seems like that the church, I've always been kind of a little bit cautious to talk about finances in church because, you know, we've seen it done wrong. We've seen it, you know, people use it for the wrong reason. But understand, just as John was speaking this morning when he took up the tithes, understand, all this is God's anyway. Are we being obedient with what he's given us, number one? And are we being obedient with his commandment about give the tenth to him first, not last? So maybe your challenge today is just, what is the Lord saying to you? We've got to learn to be obedient. Take a step of faith and do what he says. And I believe that you'll experience a liberty like you've never experienced before. And I want you to look, take a look at what happens when these lepers, when they walk in obedience. Verse 14, the last part says, and so it was that they went and they were cleansed. When they walked in obedience, when they walked out of obedience, as they demonstrated their faith through obedience, a spiritual response came. So what do we need to learn to do this Thanksgiving? We need to learn to call upon God first. We need to take a step of faith. And number three, this is my last thought. Be the one. Be the one. The one. Now, if there's one thing that kind of jumps out within this story to me, it's verses 15 and 16. I want to read them again. Scripture says, and one of them, how many? One. One of them, when they saw that he had healed, that he was healed, returned with a loud voice and glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And church, I want you to listen to me. These 10 lepers didn't have anything to lose. Nothing to lose. And you may be here this morning, and you may be saying, you know, I'm feeling the tug. I'm feeling the Holy Spirit drawing me to a special place, but you're kind of pushing back, and you're like, you know, I'm going to have to give up something. Church, I want to propose to you that you don't have anything to lose, but you've got everything to gain in Christ. Everything to gain is before you. Understand, we have a part. We're on this side of heaven. And if we believe, and I believe what this word says, that Jesus came to give us life and that life more abundantly. And I believe that if we're going to live this life of abundance, then we have got to give it to Him. We've got to trust Him. We've got to be the one to say yes to what He's saying and receive His healing by faith. Now, if we're not careful, we'll read this story and we'll put all of our focus upon the other nine. We can say, man, how could they do that? How could these other nine, how could they not have responded? How could they not have come back and said, thank you? And even just a simple thank you. Even a letter or a note, thank you to this guy named Jesus for healing them. But church, you can't convince me that these guys weren't moved. You can't convince me as they were walking along and all of a sudden, where they only had just a few fingers, all of a sudden they had 10 fingers back. You can't tell me that they weren't moved. Understand that when the Lord touches you, you're going to be moved. Your life is going to be changed. But as odd as it was, there was one, instead of going to the priest first, he actually came back to Jesus and said, thank you. See, this is what I want you to get. Out of anything out of this message, I want you to get this. May we be the one. May you be the one. May I be the one that we recognize what Jesus has already done. Understand what Jesus done, the sacrifice He made for us upon a cross over 2,000 years ago. It's done. In other words, our healing by His stripes, we are past tense. It carries us forward. So we're not looking for healing. We are living from the healing that Jesus has already provided for us. But are we walking in it? Are we recognizing that it's from Him? But when we do, when we recognize this, that is when I believe passion returns to our hearts. Our passion for Him, our desire to serve Him with everything that we've got. Something happens and something changes within inside of us. But my question is this to you. Are you going to be the one? Are you going to be the one when the Lord says that you need to step out onto the mission field? Are you going to be obedient and take that step and say, I don't understand it, but I'm going to do it? Are you going to be the one that says yes when the Lord says, I need you to preach my gospel message? Are you going to be the one when it's time to elect leaders within your church? Are you going to be the one to say, you know, I don't feel qualified, but God, I know that you qualify the unqualified, and I'm going to step forward and I'm going to do this even though I don't understand it. God, I'm doing it for you. Are you going to be the one when the Holy Spirit starts tugging upon your heart, when you realize that there's something wrong, when there is sin? Are you going to be the one to come into these altars and kneel down and lay it at Jesus' feet? Recognizing that sin is hurting you, it's robbing you from receiving everything that God has for you. The abundance that we've been talking about. Are you going to be the one willing to say, I'm sorry to someone? Even though that you know that you're not in the wrong, you didn't cause this. Are you going to be the one to go up and say, I am sorry that this has happened. I'm sorry what this has created. I know that this is not the heart of God. Can we please get past this? Are you going to be the one to commit your whole life, your whole heart to Him? Are you willing to do that? Now, musicians, I want y'all to go ahead and come. Because I'm going to try to land this thing quickly. And church, I don't want you, don't focus upon these guys. They do it every single week. They're going to lead a song. We're going to sing. I don't want y'all to even to worry about what they're doing. I want y'all to focus on what I'm talking about. Understand what we are talking about here is crucial to our faith. Understand that what these 10 lepers, what this story, what this represents you, this represents where we are in this life today. But I know in my heart of hearts that there are those of you that you're going through a battle. It's a raging battle, and you don't understand why you're going through it, but you know that you are. No one may not realize it. You may literally be drowning within the battle right now. I want to remind you, don't call upon God as a last resort. Would you call upon Him now? Would you call upon Him first? There are others of you, God has been calling you, leading you, challenging you to take a step of faith. But you've resisted Him. Would you open up your heart today and say yes to Him? But there may be some of you here today that you have already received your blessing. God's already touched you. He's already saved you. He's already delivered you. He's already set you free. But somewhere along the way, we get caught up in life, don't we? Sometimes we even get caught up in the blessing. We start leaning in on the blessing instead of the blesser. Understand that God is not limited to just one blessing for you. God is the God of blessings, and He has multiple, many for you. But when's the last time that you turn back to Him and say, God, thank you. I praise you for the blessings. I praise you for life. I praise you for life abundant. I praise you for my family. I praise you for my spouse. I praise you for my kids. I praise you, God, for my church. I praise you, God, where you're taking us. God, I praise you with my finances. God, I praise you with my health. God, I praise you in every situation, in every place I'm in. God, I turn back because I am the one. God, you can count on me. I'm going to be the one to say thank you for what you have done for me. Church, I don't know what you stand in need of, but again, I say this just as confident as I said at the beginning of this message. God is here, and He is present. The same Spirit that healed these 10 lepers is here to heal, touch, whatever you need today. God is here for you, and He loves you, and He has chosen you. Chosen. He's picked you. Red Rover, Red Rover. Jesus is saying, come right on over. Would you trust Him with it today? Would you stand with me? Heavenly Father, we thank You. We praise You, Lord, for Your word, because it has been sent here to heal us, to transform us. And God, I believe You're doing that in hearts right now. Lord, I just pray that we would be obedient to You, that we would hear Your voice and we would hear no other, and that we would say yes to You, that we would respond to Your drawing, we would respond to Your healing, we would respond to Your salvation. God, we respond to Your deliverance. Lord, as we come forth, God, we're calling upon Your name, because there's no other name like Yours. Lord, You are the Alpha, You are the Omega. You are Jehovah Rapha. You are the God who heals us. You are Jehovah Jireh. You're the God who provides. You're Jehovah Nitzi. You're the one, you're the banner that goes before us in this battle. Lord, we praise You. Lord, believe in God for great things. Lord, we thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name.